Invocation. I offer my humble obeisances to Govinda Dev, the Lord of Vrindavan, whose transcendental pleasure overflows in the company of Radhika. Govinda Dev is the abode of bliss for all the Brijvasis. I take shelter of Sri Krishna Chaitanya, the wonderfully compassionate Lord, who removed the material disease of ignorance from the world. Gauranga Mahaprabhu made the world mad by freely distributing the intoxicating nectar treasure of his own love. The ultimate goal of spiritual practices is to render pure loving service to Radhika's beloved Shyam Sundar. Although the loving service of Radhika Shyam is unknown to Brahma, Shiva, and Ananta, that loving service is attainable for those who hanker with intense greed to follow in the footsteps of the Brijvasis immersed in Radha Govinda's Prem Seva. I, Krishnadas Kaviraj, will now describe the service performed in the mind of those hankering devotees traversing the path of Raghunuga Bhakti. I offer my most humble obeisances to the eternal daily pastimes in Vrindavan of Radha Govinda. All glories to Govinda Lilamrita, the immortal nectar pastimes of Govinda that defeats the nectar of the demigods and a desire for liberation. This great medicine of Govinda Lila cures the disease of material life and makes one mad with enthusiasm to attain Krishna Prema. Those who constantly hear, chant, and remember the astonishingly sweet pastimes in Govinda Lilamrita will always relish the topmost nectar. Although I am incompetent, fickle-minded, unintelligent, and disqualified, still I am attempting to describe the nectarian transcendental pastimes of Sri Krishna. I will certainly be the cause of laughter for the Brijvasis who constantly swim in the nectarian ocean of Radhe Shyam's blissful pastimes. The Brijvasi Vaishnavas who know the works of Sri Rupa Goswami Pad will surely laugh when they read this book written by such an impostor as myself. Although I am dull-minded, the Srimad Bhagavatam declares that every word, even though imperfectly composed, glorifying the Lord's activities, will destroy the sins of the listeners. Encouraged by this statement, I will now narrate the blissful pastimes of Govinda Dev. As an oasis gives relief to a thirsty cow in a desert, similarly I pray that the descriptions of Gokul Leela coming from my desert-like tongue will become refreshed upon reaching the cool reservoir-like ears of the advanced Vaishnavas. Chapter 1, 3:36 a.m. to 6 a.m. Nishant Leela, Pastimes at Sunrise. Nikunja Bhanga Leela, Radha and Krishna's waking up in Nikunja and leaving for the respective homes. Sri Rupa Goswami's summary of this pastime. At the end of night, Brindadevi becomes apprehensive seeing the precarious situation of Radhika Govinda. Brinda orders a variety of birds to begin chirping to wake up the divine couple. Upon hearing these sweet-sounding birds and parrots, Radha and Krishna awaken. The parrots are reciting Sanskrit shlokas for their pleasure. The Sakis and Manjaris enter the sleeping chamber while laughing and giggling, seeing everyone forgetting about the need to return home quickly because of the impending sunrise. Brindadevi signals to Kakati, an old female monkey who is Radharani's pet monkey, who suddenly shrieks out loudly, "Chatila is coming!" Overcome by fear, Radhika and Shamsundar quickly separate and hastily hurry to their respective homes, slipping secretly into their beds before sunrise. Govinda Lilamrita, verse 1. A gentle Malayan breeze permeates and lingers in the kunja as Radhika and Shyam rest in a loving repose, kissing the freshly blooming flowers. That Malayan breeze spreads a sweet fragrance in all directions. Sleeping within the flowers, the intoxicated honeybees awaken and start buzzing among the creepers and latas. Seeing the approaching dawn, Brindadevi rises and orders the birds surrounding the Nikunj to sing sweetly and skillfully to waken Radhika Shyam. Female parrots warble in the grapevines surrounding the kunja. Male parrots call from the pomegranate saplings, while peacocks cry out in the mango groves. And on the ground, the roosters start crowing. Hanging flower garlands and a bed of lotus petals decorate the kunj. Searching for nectar pollen, male honeybees enter the kunj, making the sound of Cupid's conch with their excited buzzing wings. The humming of the female bees, intoxicated from drinking honey, sounds like Rati's large caratals. Male cuckoos continuously cry the fifth note, reverberating like Cupid's veena. sitting beside their drunken husbands. Female cuckoos savor soft mango buds while faintly echoing their husbands. Suddenly the pigeons resound with a shriek. Has Cupid taken the form of a jackal to plunder the doe-like patience, shyness, and dharma of the Brajagopis? The shrieking of the pigeons shatters the gopis' pride that rivals that of a tiger cub. To waken Radhika Shyam, the peacocks cry out, Keka!
Keka! Keka! Keka! Keka!
Keka! It seems that the peacocks are asking Kay, who other than Shyam can lift the mountain of Radha's patience? And Ka, Keka,
Keka.
And what Ka, other lady than the fortunate Vrishabhanu Nandini? Though they may be very beautiful, what lady besides Radha can chain down and control the maddened elephant named Krishna? Just as in the early morning, Brahmana boys begin reciting the Vedas in different chandas and meters, similarly, the roosters call out,
"Coo, coo, 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 coo."
Hearing the birds, Radhika and Krishna sense the end of night, yet both remain asleep. Upon awaking, however, they dread the thought of breaking their loving embrace. Holding their eyes tightly shut, the divine couple pretend to sleep. Then, Manju Bhashini, Radhika's pet female parrot, who is sitting in an effulgent golden cage in a corner of the Nikunj, from where she witnesses the intimate pastimes of Radha Govinda, suddenly Manju Bhashini, the parrot, Shadi, starts reciting Kavya to awaken the divine couple. Gokula Bandho Jayarasa Sindho Jagrihitapam Tyajashashikapam Pratyanukulam Shritabhujamulam Vodaya Kantam Ratibharatantam. Jai Jai Krishna Chandra, O Gokula Bandhu, O friend of everyone in Gokul, you are the Rasa Sindhu, the ocean of spiritual mellows. Please arise from your flower bed that rivals the cooling rays of the moon. Awaken your lover, who is tired from lovemaking and sheltered in your arms. Manju Bhashini continues, the female parrot, Hey, Brajaraj, the swiftly rising sun is very cruel toward the young girls of Vrindavan. Being an ocean of rasas, you should quickly take your beloved and leave this forest along the Yamuna's bank. O lotus-eyed Radhika, you can't be blamed for spending the night in the Kunj with Krishna. But look, just as Chandravali cannot tolerate your happiness, the rising sun is tinting the eastern sky with a reddish hue of his apparent anger. Night is now over. So cast aside the happiness of your cooling bed of flowers. A male parrot named Vichakshana, who is sober, peaceful, eloquent in speech, and very much attached to Krishna, begins to recite a series of verses full of clear, sweet syllables, just suitable for awakening Madhav. Jaya Jaya Gokula Mangala Kanta, Braja Yuvati Bringya Ravinda, Pratipada Varadita Nanda Nanda, Shri Govinda Chuta Natta Shanda. Hey Govinda, all glories to you. You are the source of good fortune for the Brijvasis. You are the life of the Braja Gopis, and a lotus for their thirsty, bee-like eyes. O Govinda, you increase Nanda Baba's joy at every step, and you give joy to the surrendered souls. Prabhatam ayatamashesha gosha, Sri Sartanetra Barma Ravinda, Garishtabhu yishta vishishta nishtam, Goshtam pratishtaswa davishta ishtam. O Govinda, you are also the thirsty, you are the lotus for the thirsty, bee-like eyes of all the Brijvasis. Look, morning has now come. Now quickly go to Nandagram, which is affectionately served by your relatives and superiors. Otherwise, you will be embarrassed. O lotus-eyed one, just see how Surya's wife, the eastern sky, has adorned herself with a red dress upon seeing her husband's arrival. Therefore, O Krishna, now it is time to get up. O Krishna, fearing the sun's appearance, the moon flees with its wife, the night. So take your innocent Radhika and quickly flee the Yamuna's forest and banks. Hey Govinda, as the day begins, the Chakravaki birds keep one eye on the rising sun while searching for their husbands with their other eye. The owls, who cannot see and bear the daytime, run to the tree holes to hide out of fear of the crows, who are their natural enemies. Therefore, Krishna, you should rise from bed. Then, Shukshmadi, a sweet-speaking female parrot that has memorized all the lessons given to her by Brindadevi, intoxicated due to her love for Radhika and dancing in ecstasy with an erect tail feathers, starts reciting selected poetry to awaken Radhika. O Brijendra Nandana Priya, rise and quickly go home before the Brijvasis start moving on the pathways for their daily business. Hey Sumukhi, just see the sun peeking over the horizon. Don't delay. It's time to leave the Nikunj. Hey Sakhi Radhe, give up your sleepiness and wake up your beloved Krishna. If you don't hurry home, your elders will scandalize you. Remember, the wise never disregard the necessity of the moment. Though awake, Radhika Shyam cannot abandon their amorous embrace. Night's end causes some alarm, but Radhika Shyam refuse to leave the happiness of their enchanting flower bed. Shyam is simultaneously anxious to return to Nandagram and afflicted by the piercing thought of losing Radhika's loving embrace. Therefore, Shyam pretends to sleep. At that time, a parrot named Daksha, who is a teacher of 100,000 parrots, an expert in describing Krishna's pastimes, lands on the gate of the Nikunj, flapping his wings out of love for Krishna. He sings, "O Shyam, quickly return to your bedroom before your mother comes. Yashoda will be ordering the maidservants, 'O Dasis, churn the yogurt quietly, because Krishna is still resting peacefully to relieve the fatigue of his cowherding yesterday.' Hey Govinda, certainly you know that your cows like Kalindi are now staring at the path where you enter the Goshala. Eager to see you, the cows have raised their heads, extend their ears, and moo excitedly. They are crying due to the heavy weight of their milk full udders. After finishing her duties, Bhagavati Purnamasi Devi will eagerly come with your mother to see you. Before she arrives at your home, you must quickly rise and return to your bed. After listening to Daksha, the parrot, Krishna prepares to go home by carefully giving up Radhika's loving embrace and sitting up in bed quietly. At this time, the mandris start peeking through the windows of the Nikunj to relish the pleasure pastimes of Radhika Shyam. A Radharani's pet female peacock named Sundari, overflowing with Radhika Prem, leaves her husband in the Kadamba tree and swoops down into the courtyard of the Nikunj next to the bed of Radhika Shyam. Then Tandavik, Krishna's pet male peacock, joins his wife Sundari, and together the pair of peacocks, Tandavik and Sundari, begin joyfully dancing with fan tail feathers for the pleasure of Radha and Krishna. Meanwhile, Radhika's pet deer, Rangini, leaves her husband and runs from a group of mango trees and pokes her head in the doorway of the kunja and starts gazing affectionately with her soft, tender eyes upon the lotus faces of Radha Govinda. Then her husband, Krishna's pet stag named Suranga, joins his wife Rangani in the Nikunj. To please Krishna, Suranga prances about happily in the kunja while gazing upon Krishna's lotus face. Seeing Radhika listless from fatigue, Krishna lifts her onto his lap. While Radhika pretends to sleep, Krishna looks lovingly upon her sweet form. Radhika's face resembles a blossoming golden lotus flower, and the curling black hairs falling over Radha's forehead appear like black bumblebees resting on it. One could mistake Radha's restless eyes for the darting humming birds. Shyam smiles upon seeing the astounding beauty of Radhika. As Radhika raises her lotus stem arms above her head, she interlocks her fingers and stretches her entire body to relieve her fatigue. A ray of peace beams from Radha's glistening teeth as she yawns. This pose of Radhika fascinates Shyamasundar. To enhance Krishna's pleasure, Radhika glances at Shyam with tired eyes rolling in intoxication. Radha's hair is slightly loosened. Her flower garland is crushed, and Radha's jeweled necklaces dangle loosely in disarray. While showing feigned distress and dry pouting, Radhika simultaneously beams a tender smile, revealing her inner joy. Feeling fatigue from the previous night's pastimes of Cupid, Radhika rests her soft, creeper-like body against Shyamasundar, who glistens with a dark color of a tamal tree. If a lightning streak could remain within a fresh monsoon cloud, then this scene might compare with the beauty of Radhika embracing Shyam. Krishna's sleepy lotus eyes roll in intoxication. Shyam's body, fragrant as a lotus, is covered with nail marks and smeared with black mascara. Curling locks of hair adorn Shyam's forehead, and mind-enchanting makara earrings dance on Shyam's glossy cheeks. Seeing Madhava's captivating face and cunning, sweet smile, lotus-eyed Radhika becomes pierced by the arrows of Cupid. When Shyam looks at Radha, she smiles and lowers her eyes out of shyness. The Manjaris, peeking through the windows of the Nikunj, relish unlimited bliss from hearing Radhika's words. Their bodies erupt with ecstatic bumps of joy, and they smile as they stagger into the Nikunj to tease Srimati. While pushing one another forward, the Manjaris say, "Hey, Sakhi, you go first." Struck with alarm upon seeing the imminent daybreak, the Manjaris enter the Nikunj, which resounds with the buzzing of intoxicated honeybees. When the Sakhis, whose beautiful faces become even more attractive with their broad smiles and restless roaming eyes, enter the Nikunj, Radhika suddenly gets up from Krishna's lap, feeling embarrassed. Radhika hastily covers herself with Shyam's yellow chadar. Radha sits on Krishna's left side and regains her gravity while looking thoughtfully at the Sakis. When Krishna utters some joking words, Radhika lowers her lotus face out of shyness. The Sakis feel very pleased to see this. Seeing the Sakis laughing at Krishna's joking words, Radhika's full cheeks brighten like a blossoming flower. Radha's restless eyes join her dancing eyebrows to throw a crooked, sidelong glance to strike Krishna's heart. The red around the borders of Srimati's slightly closed, tear-filled eyes conveys her fear, anger, jealousy, shyness, crookedness, restlessness, and wonder. Submerged in extreme rapture due to fixing themselves on Madhava's lotus face, Radhika's intriguing eyes deliver unparalleled bliss to Krishna, who is the most valuable blue sapphire among romantic heroes. The Sakis and Manjaris completely forget about going home as they drown in the blissful ocean of love produced by Radha Govinda's honey-sweet pastimes. Seeing Radhika and Shyamsundar sinking deeper into the nectar ocean of their pastimes, and seeing the Sakis and Manjaris blind due to Prema's intoxication, Brindadevi becomes most apprehensive. She then motions to her trained female parrot named Shubha, who is expert in frightening Radhika about her elders, husband, and the possible criticism of others. The shoddy parrot named Shubha exclaims, "Hey, lotus-eyed Sakis, you better hurry home, because Jyotila will soon enter Radhika's bedroom and say, 'Oh, Radhe, your husband, Abhimanyu, and his servants are returning from the goshal with pails of milk. You should go quickly and perform your morning duties before he arrives.' Can't you see, O innocent one? The stars are disappearing after enjoying a romantic night with her husband, the moon. In the same way, you should also quickly leave this Nikunj. O pious Radhe, the mural of the sky is smeared orange by the sun's rays. People are now moving on the main roads of Vrindavan. Give up your love play and run along the hidden forest path to your home." Shubha addresses Krishna, "Hey Shyam, don't you know that Radhika's mother-in-law is covered with the mud of suspicion? Furthermore, Radha's bitter husband lives up to his name Abhimanyu, which means always angry. Radha's sister-in-law Kutila is a low-minded scandal monger. Since all of Radhika's in-laws are nasty, how can you keep her here at a time like this? As the Mandara Mountain churned the ocean of milk, the parrot's words churned Radhika's heart with fear of her impending separation from Shyam Sundar. Radha's restless eyes darting here and there, she leaves the flower bed. Observing Radha's condition, Krishna mistakenly covers himself with Radhika's blue shawl and then rises from the bed. Wearing each other's garments, Radhika and Krishna hold hands and leave the kunj. Shyam Sundar appears like a fresh rain cloud. Garlanded by the radiant streak of lightning. And Shyam ambles along, holding his enchanting flute in his right hand and Priyaji's hand in his left. The mandris gather the used paraphernalia from the Nikunj. One kinkari carries a lota. Another mandri picks up a golden-handled chamara. And one mandri takes a jeweled mirror. Someone else clutches the colorful chandan boxes and jeweled pond containers. One maidservant brings Manju Bhashini sitting in her golden birdcage. Smiling slightly, one mandri collects a special kunkum canister. The ivory container is studded with gold and has a blue sapphire cap. One clever mandri gathers the loose pearls that snapped off Radhika's necklace during her love fight with Krishna. Collecting all these items from the flower bed, that mandri wraps them securely in her garment. Rati Mandri, Das Goswami, runs to the flower bed, retrieves a set of Radha's forgotten earrings, and then attaches them to Srimati's ears. Rupa Mandri recovers Radhika's kanchuli, or blouse, from a corner of the bed and secretly returns it to Radha. Gunamandri picks up the spittoon and freely distributes the pond remnants to the sakis. Manjulali Mandri distributes the prasadi chandan and flower garlands to the eager maidservants. Covering their mouths with their hands, the sakis giggle when they see Shyama Sundar wearing Radhika's blue garments and Radhika accidentally wearing Krishna's yellow cloth. The sakis exchange delighted glances to share the bliss swelling within their hearts upon viewing this amusing scene. Radhika Shyam are somewhat confused by the laughter of the sakis, But soon, Radha Krishna enter the ever-expanding ocean of ecstasy as they gaze at each other with eyes expressing the wonder of their hearts. As one cannot detect milk within a white conch shell, similarly, Radhika does not notice her dark blue sari wrapped around Shyamasundara. In the same way, Krishna's bright yellow chatter cannot be seen against the effulgent golden body of Radhika. Upset at seeing the rising sun spoiling the love pastimes of the divine couple, Dalita insults Suryadev by saying, "O Radhe Jasi, even though the sun was stricken with leprosy and lost his legs, which means his movement stops at sunset, for disturbing the amorous pastimes of romantic couples, still he continues this heinous act. The sages are correct when they say it is very difficult to change one's nature." Vrishabhanu Nandini's eyes redden with anger over the interruption of her blissful enjoyment with Shyam. Nodding in approval of Lalita's words, Radhika remains calm, smiles, and replies in a sweet, gentle voice, "Sakhi, even though the sun lost his legs, he returns in only a moment to repeat his sinful deed. Just imagine, if he had legs, then there would be no night at all." Inspired by the charm of early morning and elated by the ambrosial words of Radhika, Shyam again forgets about returning home and says, "Hey Priyaji, just as a mistress turns red with envy upon seeing her lover return at dawn with the signs of conjugal enjoyment from another woman, similarly, the eastern sky, the wife of the sun, has turned red from envy upon seeing her husband return with red marks all over his body from touching other women." The directions are female and gender. "O Priyatam, just look. The lotus flower, the proud mistress of the sun, is addressing the lily. Hey, lily, even though your husband, the moon, is peaceful by nature and removes the darkness of sins, he has fallen from the sky after touching the red sky at dawn." Alternate reading. "This Brahmana, who is the twice-born moon, has fallen from his caste after drinking Varuni wine, which is pink in color. When the lilies hear the lotuses laughing and see the rising sun, they become shy and embarrassed. Then they cover their faces with their petals. O Radhe, as the moon destroys the darkness, the cuckoos think, since we are black, perhaps the moon will destroy us too. Thus the cuckoos anxiously call for Amavasya, the dark moon night, by singing, 'Kuhoo, kuhoo.' The word 'kuhoo' actually means Amavasya. The cuckoos think that if the moonless night comes, then Rahu will cover the moon and protect them." Hey, Chandramukhi, just see, in the morning, female bee leaves the opening lotus flower in which she was trapped the night before. Then a restless male bee, covered with yellow pollen from the lily, madly pursues her. Fearing her lover's return, Chakravaki quickly comes and kisses the red lotus. It's even redder during the summer. Hosumuki, look over there. After enjoying my pet swan, Kalambana, is flapping his wings in ecstasy as he approaches us. The wife of my pet swan, who is named Tundikeri, is swimming swiftly behind Kalambana. Tundikeri is quacking sonorously and holding a lotus stem in her mouth as she gazes upon your lotus face. Oh, Radhika, the sandal-scented Malayan breeze has merged with the fresh mountain air to carry the sweet aroma of lotus flowers. Besides teaching the forest creepers to dance, this Malayan breeze relieves everyone's fatigue. This breeze especially acts to remove the perspiration of loving couples. Suddenly, Radhika Shyam, the embodiments of auspiciousness for Braj, hear an old female monkey saying, as kakati, Jatila! Although eager for more enjoyment, Radha and Krishna become frightened and dash out of the kunj. Their hair, garments, and ornaments become loosened and disheveled as they run down toward the pathways to their homes. When the Sakis hear the name of Jatila, they also become afraid and scatter hither and thither. While struggling along the forest path en route to Nandagram, Krishna anxiously turns his head from left to right. In fear of being caught with her rivals, Krishna imagines that Chandravali's friends are waiting on his left. Elders of Braj are before him, and Jatila and Kutila are pursuing him from behind. Feeling the pangs of separation, Krishna glances eagerly towards Radhika, who is running on a separate pathway homeward to the south. Overcome with apprehension, Radhika thinks that Jatila is right behind her. It is difficult for Radhika to run. Holding her slipping garments with one hand and her loosened hair in the other, Radhika manages to go to Braj as quickly as possible. Sri Rupa Mandri safely escorts Radhika home by sitting her on the palanquin of her mind. Out of deep love for Radhika, Sri Rupa Mandri continually blinks her eyes as she fearfully looks ahead along the forest path. Rupa Mandri's eyes, ash gray in color, act as the curtain of that palanquin to protect Radhika from the vision of others. Just as bodyguards precede a traveling king to clear the way, the restless arrow glances of Rati Manjari keep strangers from interfering with Radhika's secret journey home. Arriving at their respective homes, Radhika and Shyam glance nervously toward the doors of their elders. Their fear vanquishes as they sigh in relief and quietly enter their bedrooms. Radha and Shyam, weary and anguished, due to separation from each other, gradually fall asleep in their beds. Mahavishnu returns to his abode and rests upon the bed of Ananta after performing his creative duties. At this time, the Vedic Shrutis, who describe this pastime, also return to their celestial abodes. Similarly, after performing his sweet pastimes with Radhika, Shyamasunda returns home and falls asleep on his bed in Nandagram. Then, the clever Sakis and Kinkaris, Mandris, assisting and nourishing these pastimes, also secretly return to their homes. As a result of Sri Rupa Goswami's mature service, aroused by drinking the sweet honey from Sri Chaitanya's lotus feet, the request of Raghunath Das, Sarsham Jiva, and the blessings of Sri Raghunath Bhatta, the first chapter of Govinda Lila Amrita is complete. Hare Krishna.